morning, everyone. It is good to see you all here, safe and sound and in one piece after that frosty weather. I crossed the car park this morning and thought, well, that's me ready for the Winter Olympics. But as we come to God's word, let's just pray. Father, as we come to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, we ask that you would speak to us in ways that we don't expect, in a new and living way. And as we share in the wonder of Mary and Joseph, of the shepherds, and of the Magi, the wise men, may it fill our hearts and remind us again of the truth of Christmas and the truth of your word. We pray this in your name. One of the things I really enjoy living outside of Belfast is that when I look up in the sky, I can actually see stars at night. You know, there's none of this, you know, pollution or fog or whatever you might get in Belfast. The best sort of starry sky I ever saw was when I was in Kenya with CMSI, and we were able to look up, and there's no light pollution, there's no fog, there's nothing to keep you from seeing all of the stars in the sky. And we were able to see the Southern Cross, and it was just stunning. And the wise men, or the Magi that we read about this morning, we've been well acquainted with that starry sky. They enter into our story with a strange question. Strangers from a far land with a strange question. Where is the king? We might know them as the Magi or the wise men or the three kings. We sing carols about them. But the Greek that Matthew uses here tells us they're Magi. They're not kings. They're wise men. They're Magi from Persia. They're Persian or Arabian. They were astrologers. They were those who read the skies, read the stars, and interpreted them. And these are men that followed a star and dreamed dreams. They knew the positions of the stars in the sky. They knew the times and the seasons. And they knew enough to know there was something different about this star that they saw. And they knew enough to know that something here was happening. I mean, during this time, the Jews lived throughout the known world. Okay, so they brought with them their scriptures, their prophecies, their words about what was to come. So these men would have been aware of the prophecies of what was promised. They would have known about this hope that the Jews had for a Messiah, as was promised in the Old Testament. They knew someone was coming, but they knew not when and they knew not where. But they found this particular star and they followed it. And they followed it to Judea and they went to the place where they thought, well, that's where the king's most likely to be. They went to Jerusalem, the capital city. They came to the people and to the place, to those who should have known who, what, when, where, and why. And they came to Herod, these strange men from a strange land with their strange question, wondering, where is the one who has been born to be king of the Jews? How does Herod take this? Okay, he doesn't take it very well. It's probably enough to make him spit out his morning coffee or whatever he had in his hand at that time. He's not happy. And the nature of Herod is that if Herod's not happy, nobody around Herod is happy. Okay, he's a man who's volatile. They don't know what he might do. So he gathers his wise guys, his men who are in the know, and he says, do you know anything about this? I mean, you should. Do you know anything about this? And they say, well, yes, we do. And they quote from Micah chapter 5. It says, you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And that word or title, ruler, would have really threatened Herod, threatened his position, threatened his idea of power and control. It's a threat to him. So he says to the wise men, okay, you guys go off, you go and search, and then you let me know. You let me know where he is so I can go and worship him. Okay, he's no intention of worshiping Jesus. He's no intention of worshiping this new king, this new ruler, this new person who would have any kind of control that would push him out or any kind of control over the people. So the men or the wise guys, the wise men are back on the road. They're following the Lord's GPS to the house where Jesus was. And here is where we start to dispel some of the ideas that we have around who the Magi were or who the wise men were, these three kings. We're told that they arrive at the house, okay? They're not at a stable, they're not at an inn, they're at a house. Okay, so Mary and Joseph are no longer in the place where, you know, the story began. This is where we begin to dispel these images that we have. What do we think in our mind's eye when we think about the wise men? We think about these lovely Christmas card images, don't we? The first Christmas card I got through the letterbox was one of the three wise men. We have these beautiful little images of the camels. Where did the camels come from? Where in the story? Ozzy didn't read us anything about camels, did he? But we have this image that they rode on camels with crowns on their head. We might think about children dressed up. I think last year it was grown-ups that were dressed up as three wise men. I think they nearly went up in flames last year, if I remember, at the carol service. We think about wee ones dressed up. We think about these sort of Christmas card, cookie cutter kind of images of who the wise men were. We think about Christmas cards. We think about, we wish you a Merry Christmas. But the Magi are so much more than that. They're so much more important to the story. We assume that they came as three people because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We assume that they kind of came riding on their camels, dressed in their rich clothes with crowns on their heads. The Bible never tells us, as we said, never tells us exactly how they got there. They might have been on a fine Arabian horse. They might have come with lots of people to guard them. But these are wealthy men. They're probably not traveling just the three of them or just that small number of them through the desert, through to a far off land. They might have had a whole army around them. They didn't come to a stable. They came to a house where Jesus was. They didn't come to a newborn baby. They came to see a child. Jesus might have been 2 years old at this point. It turns upside down what we might think about who they were. But what we do know is that these are wise and learned men who saw the star, followed its progress, followed it, and sought out the newborn king that the star signified. And they found the greatest wonder. They saw and they followed, and they sought and they found. They arrive in Jerusalem and they say, "We saw his star when it rose. We're here to find the king." They were on the lookout, weren't they? They had their eyes in the right place. They were looking at the right things. They were looking to the heavens. They knew enough then that when they saw this star in the sky, they knew that something was happening. They knew this was it. They had their eyes fixed in the right place. And as we come into Christmas, it's very easy to take our eyes off the true meaning of why we celebrate, of why we sing, of why we read these beautiful scriptures over and over again. The true meaning is Christmas. Are we got our eyes fixed on the right things at Advent and at Christmas time? Focused on the things of God. You know, as the Bible tells us, things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. There's nothing more so than Jesus. Are we fixing our eyes on such things and allowing the wonder of these things of God to fill our hearts this Christmas time? And they followed the star and they went where it led. We're told that they went on their way and the star they had seen, it rose in the sky, it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place or stopped over the house where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They followed. They must have wondered where on earth they were going. They had been to the place where they thought this is the most likely place for the king to be. Here they are again on the road. They had no plotted destination. They had no fixed point. And yet they continued to follow. They might not have expected that this is where the star would lead, but they arrived exactly when and where they were meant to. They saw and they followed. And in seeking out, they found the Christ child. We're told that on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. And they gave him their treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They sought out the Messiah that was promised. They followed the star and found the most wonderful of gifts. I wonder whether with little ones or whenever you were small at all, you thought, oh, at the end of that rainbow, there's a nice wee leprechaun with a crock of gold. Anybody ever did that? Or say, we'll just get in the car and we'll just follow and see if we get to the end of the rainbow and find that treasure that's at the end of the rainbow. We very rarely, I've never followed the end of towards the end of a rainbow and found a crock of gold. But when we follow the light, when we follow the light of that star, when they reached the end of their destination and they stood in the light of that star, they found their treasure. They found the greatest thing. Someone who is worth treasuring over all. If we go back to Micah 5 that the chief priests of Herod and in Jerusalem quoted from, if we go on in Micah 5, it talks about one who will be a ruler over Israel whose origins are of old, from ancient of times. He's one that will shepherd the flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord as God. And we will live then securely, for his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The greatness of God present in a little child. They sought and they found. And there's much in the Bible that talks to us about seeking out and searching and looking for. We know Matthew 7 that says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks the door will be opened. We're being invited to ask and to seek and to knock. We've already heard about Alpha just slightly earlier on in our service. If you're seeking, if you're searching this Christmas time, come along in January, you might just find the best thing ever, the greatest gift ever. What will we find when we ask and seek and follow? We'll find the King. We'll find the greatness of God present in a little child. We've all looked at the face of a little one and just thought, I just love you. I just love you. How much more then to look on the eyes of Christ, to look with eyes of love on Christ and think, I just love you to bits, you know. We'll find the King, we'll share in the wonder of the Magi. True greatness, true treasure. There's a quote that says that we become what we love and who we love shapes what we become. Are we loving and looking on to Christ? Are we seeking that which is worth loving, worth treasuring, worth shaping our lives around? Because the amazing thing is that our searching and our seeking will never find an empty promise at the end of it. We always find the greatest treasure when we seek and we look and we find. When we're seeking after the right things, the right person, the one who came to seek and serve and save us, we're greatly rewarded. I find it really interesting in our Christmas story that those who search out the child are not the ones that we probably would expect to be. Okay, we might have thought that the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, the people who knew all of this stuff, the minute they got a whiff of a rumour about the Messiah arriving, surely they would have been the ones rushing to Bethlehem, rushing to see the fulfilment of this promise. But it's not them. It's some smelly shepherds who've been out looking after their sheep. It's some strangers from a strange land who have travelled hundreds, if not thousands of miles. It's the people that we least expect. It's not those that we think. And if the Christmas story is one of total unexpected surprises, there is much to be found and much more to be discovered each and every year. It's not the ones that we expect, but it's people who come and seek and search and follow when they've seen and they've listened. The wise men saw, they listened and they followed. And they made a costly decision, didn't they? I mean, it would have cost quite a bit. It would have cost them a lot in time and in resources to leave their own place to travel all of this way. They made a costly choice, but what reward they received after they had paid that price. You know, very often our faith doesn't cost us anything, really. But the Lord invites us to come and to see and be rewarded. So we fix our eyes like the Magi did. We fix our eyes. They hadn't seen Jesus, but they believed. They had the promise of something, and that promise was fulfilled. And as 2 Corinthians tells us, we do fix our eyes on that which is not seen. We fix our eyes on the things that are eternal and not temporary. The Magi believed in the promised Messiah even though they had not seen him. In Christ when they had never seen him at all. They believed in him when the scribes and the Pharisees were unbelieving. They believed in him when they saw a little infant on Mary's knee and worshipped him as king. They believed when the world and those around them didn't. And they saw and they followed when others didn't. They sought when others didn't and found what others were still yet to discover. So with those Magi, the wise men, the three kings, those men from afar, those strangers from a strange land, are we keeping a lookout this Advent and Christmas season? And are we seeing where we're being led? And are we following? Are we following no matter what the cost may be? And are we seeking after Jesus? And are we hoping to find? Because our hoping is always fulfilled. Because in Christ there is the greatest treasure, worth all our worship, worth all our hoping, worth all our dreaming, worth all our wonder and our amazement. Let's just pray together. Father, we pray that we would share in the wonder of the Magi. When we look to the heavens and see a great movement, we pray that we would follow. Lord, will we fix our eyes on the things of God this Christmas time? Would we be those who see and who follow, who seek and find? And as we stand to sing our closing worship, Joy to the World, we pray that we would know that joy deep in our hearts, and that joy would show on our face and in our words and in our actions.